This is Doug Miller. Oh, Peter never missed an opportunity to preach the gospel, did he? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, the program's dialogue, and we are back with you one more time. Privileged, I might add, to be back with you and able to open this book and to speak and to know that the Word of God is going out on the airways, out to many hundreds and thousands. We don't know how many are listening, but we'll leave that up to the Lord. Bring your Bibles, come along. We're in the third chapter of Acts, and we're going to see old Peter preach another sermon. And I think you'll be very blessed by it. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. That's what we do. If you're waiting for an encore, that's all we do. And by the grace of God, we're going to continue to do this until he shuts it down or until his son comes back or whatever. We'll leave that to the Lord. We covet your prayers. We need your support, and we would love to hear from you. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We, of course, would I always say we'd love to hear from you. The programs are yours for the asking, recordings. All you have to do is ask. No strings attached. We don't come back and put your name on a mailing list and ask you for money. That's not how we do it at Dialogue. Anyone who's been listening to us for any time here knows that. Don't believe in it. And we would be happy to help you in any way we can. But we have to hear from you, so write to us. And also, you might go online and look for our webpage, dialogueministries.org. That's .org, and you can learn about Dialogue and even pull up some of the programs and listen to them. I have been saying and will continue to say, please keep April 16 open. That's a Saturday. And Mark Hitchcock and I will be down at Camp Klassen down in the Arbuckle Mountains by Davis for a one-day seminar on the subject, Are We Living in the End Times? I think you need to be here for this one. So just plan on meeting with us down there, and I'll have you. You'll hear more about this on this radio station and from us as we go along. All right, let's look at the third chapter of Acts now. Last week, we saw Peter healing this man who had been born crippled. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And of course, the people we saw at the end of the broadcast last week are gathered around wondering greatly. And looking at this man, they knew who he was. They had seen him outside the gate of the beautiful gate coming into the temple many times, sitting there begging. And here he is, a man who was a hopeless cripple, leaping and praising God and rejoicing. And man, they were stunned. Now let's see how Peter deals with this. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? It's nothing that has anything to do with us. Now, you know, this is ye men of Israel. This is exactly how Peter began his sermon back in chapter 2 of Acts, and here he goes again. Same address. He's still talking, perhaps not to the same people, but collectively it is. This is a message to Israel. Now, if you say, well, what about the Gentiles? Where do they come into this? Friends, they don't come into it yet. They don't come into it yet. The gospel has not yet gone out to the Gentiles. This is strictly a thing for Israel at this time. Now, God knows what he's going to do, but Peter and these other apostles don't know what God is doing. Once again, at the risk of belaboring a point, Peter and the other apostles are strictly thinking of this in terms of a Jewish thing. They knew that the Lord Jesus said, and said it more than once during his earthly ministry, that, I am not come to any save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They knew what the Lord had told them before he ascended back to heaven. We have it in the first chapter of Acts. He was talking to them of the things of the kingdom, and they are still thinking in terms of the kingdom, which centers in on the nation of Israel. Centered in on it then, still centers in on Israel. And when the kingdom finally comes on this earth, which will be during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, it will still center in on Israel. The church will have long since been raptured and home with the Lord in glory and ruling and reigning with him. So it's not that we'll have nothing to do during the kingdom. We will have, but it will center in on Israel. It'll be centered at Jerusalem. And Peter knows this much. He doesn't know about the church yet, so this address is perfectly proper and correct. Ye men of Israel, now why are you looking at us? We didn't do anything. We're just the conduits, the instruments through which the grace of God has come to this man. And it's not just God's grace. It's not just God's grace. The important thing is that it came in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him alone. Now, if you don't come in this way, you will not come. I'm telling you right now, whoever you are or whatever you are or whatever lies you may have been told, that it doesn't matter, that, just if you're sincere, let me tell you something. There is only one way into heaven. There is only one way into salvation, and there is ultimately only one way to earthly blessings, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him alone. There's no other way, pure and simple. And these individuals, they may not have known this. They may not have wanted to believe it, but it was through Jesus Christ. Look at what Peter says. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. Now, get this straight. God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has a son, and his name is Jesus. And he is the Christ. There are no Gentile gods that are valid gods. They are all idols. They don't see, they don't hear, they don't speak. They cannot deliver. And if you are saving, or you are serving, rather, some Gentile-produced god preached to you by some Gentile prophet, you are following a lie and a deception. And the sooner you face that, better off you'll be. And to say, for example, that, we are all serving the same God, Christianity, Islam, Israel, it's all the same God. No, it is not. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not named Allah. He is named Yahweh. That is the name of God, and he is the only God. If you don't believe it, go back and read the 83rd Psalm. And he has a son, and it is his only begotten son, and he sent him into this earth to die for sinners, and he has been glorified. And Peter is a good one to talk about that in verse 13, because he saw the glorified Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. You may read of that in the 17th chapter of Matthew. And he knew that the glorified Christ, raised up from the dead, had ascended up to heaven and was now in glory at God's right hand. And he says here, you delivered him up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Look at this. Once again, just as in the first chapter, Peter doesn't mince any words on it. He wasn't such, you know, he didn't feel the need to be nice, kind, sweet, and polite to these people. I said that for the benefit of all of you preachers out there who never would dare raise your voice to anyone and never would dare point out to the fact to them that they have sinned and without Christ Jesus, they're on their way to hell. I don't know, those of you who are listening to me, I don't know when the last time you heard your preacher talk about hell, but if he won't, just get out of there, go somewhere else. Look at this. Peter doesn't mince any words on it, and he blames them for it. Now, there's no point, I mean, they can say, well, I didn't do it, someone else did it. Yeah, it was the high priest and those guys there. Well, no indication that the high priests are here to listen to this. This is people from Israel, ye men of Israel. You delivered him up. You denied him. You denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now look at this once again. These men that are listening to Peter might say, and I'm sure they did, well, we didn't. We're not the ones who drove the nails in. We're not the ones who hung him. That was those Romans there. Peter said, you killed him. Listen to me, those of you who are listening to me who are unsaved. If you don't understand your part in the death of Jesus Christ, you're in a heap of trouble. If you don't understand, when he went to that cross, he went there for you and because of you and in your stead. If you don't understand that had it not been for sin and his love for you and his desire to save you, he would never have gone there. If you don't understand this, if you can blithely and glibly say, oh, it has nothing to do with me, then I don't know what to tell you. You will go on in your lostness and blindness and right off into perdition. And these men had to listen to this. And they may not have liked what Peter said, and some of you listening to me may not have liked what I just said. That's all right. Get over it. Listen to me. All right? It is his name, says, and we are witnesses. Pardon, let's go back and look at verse 15 again. God raised him from the dead. Now, friends, once again, if you are disposed to think that somehow Jesus' death on the cross, that he died some kind of martyr's death to set a good example for us and to prove to us that one ought to be willing to die for the truth and all of this cheap nonsense, please, don't waste your time on that. You'll hit hell harder than a ton of rocks. You listen to me. God raised him from the dead, and that is a necessary component of the gospel, the good news. Without the resurrection from the dead, there is no salvation for any of us. If God was not able to raise him up from the dead and did not raise him up from the dead, then he simply died the death of any dead man because of sin and rotted in the earth. And we don't have a living Savior, we just have a dead Jew. I say if. But Peter makes it clear here that that's not the case. God raised him from the dead, raised him back to life in glory and power. And we have and serve a living Savior. And he is not in the grave. And sin could not hold him, and death could not hold him. And the very sin that he bore on that cross, which was our sin, is no longer on him now. He discharged that debt and left it behind in the grave. And now Peter can say, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, I hope you were listening last week, but if you weren't, I'm glad you're listening this week. Because this physical condition that this man had, as we talked about last time, is merely a reflection of a deeper problem that he has and that all men and women who are of Adam's race have. It is called sin. And it is sin that cripples and maims and scars the soul. It is sin that sets us on the outside looking in, that cuts us off from God and all the beauties and wonders and glories and the things that God wants to do for us. It is sin, and there's only one answer to this. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the one who died. He's the one who bore your sins, and it is through him and faith in his name that you, whoever you are, can be made whole and right in the sight of God and have your sins be put away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He came down to wash us from our sins in his own blood. Now look at how Peter, look at what else he says now in verse 17. Brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as also your rulers. I know you did it through ignorance. Now, if you want to plead ignorance as a cause and say, well, you can't hold me responsible, I'm ignorant. Well, Peter knows that they were ignorant, but he holds them responsible. He still blames them. And mere ignorance is no excuse. I know that you did it through ignorance, and even your rulers, they were just, it was ignorance, it was a lack of knowledge, but those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now look at this one. This is important, and it is powerful. Peter affirms here that it was through the mouths of the prophets. They said that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. We're going to see Paul saying this later on out in the synagogues in Thessalonica. We're going to see him preaching this. He had to do this, and this is a matter that was settled by the prophets long ago. Now, you go back and you read the prophecies of the Old Testament, and you will see this. Read the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Read the 16th Psalm. Read the 22nd Psalm. Read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. These are all Old Testament books, and they make it clear that the Messiah is not only going to be glorified and rule in Israel, but that he first must suffer and die. This sin question has got to be settled. And Jesus Christ himself, when he was in the garden, before he was crucified, as the mob were coming and were trying or were taking him away, you remember when Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant? Jesus said, put your sword away, man. Don't you know that I could call my Father right now and he would send 10 legions of angels? I could wipe this field clean. But he said, if I did that, how would the words of the prophets be fulfilled? In obedience to his Father, in love for his Father and for you and me, our Lord Jesus Christ went into condemnation and died. And what's the answer to it all for us? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now here we have another prophecy. And Peter says very clearly here, God is going to send him back. He doesn't tell him when he's going to send him back, but he says God is going to send him back. The time is set. The prophets also, they not only spoke of his death and suffering and his humiliation, they also spoke of his earthly glory and his ruling and reigning, and he will rule and reign. And he is coming back, even as Peter said here. What was their part? To repent. And repent, and I don't know exactly I do, too. I was getting ready to say I don't know what the Greek is, but I have it here. I'm looking at it. It's a word, it's not the standard word for repentance, metanoia, but it is a word that means to turn around, turn, which in a sense is kind of what metanoia means. But this one really means to turn around. You're going the wrong direction. Turn and be converted. Be changed. The Lord will change you. Turn and have your sins blotted out. What a wonderful sermon here that Peter preaches. For sure, and let's just read on here. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. If you're wondering where that is, it's in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. Now, who was Moses talking about? Peter makes it clear. He was talking about Jesus Christ. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Man, what a wonderful sermon to preach. And look at what we've got here at the end as we end up today. We've got the suggestion here about something that Peter didn't really understand himself, I think, and even resisted when it began to happen. He couldn't figure it out. But he gets to it here. Look at what we have about Abraham. In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. All people are going to come into the good of this. And he goes to you first, that is, it's to the Jews first, and then it's to the Gentiles. That's how the gospel worked, and that's how it has worked. Aren't you glad, those of you who are listening to me, as Gentiles, aren't you glad that God didn't just stop it with Israel? Aren't you glad that God promised Abraham, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed? The seed of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ, as Paul makes clear in his letter to the Galatians, the seed of Abraham has come, has died, has suffered, has been raised up again, and in him, and because of him, the gospel has gone forth to the ends of the earth, and everyone lost and in sins and darkness can be saved. I don't know who you are listening to me. I don't know where you are. I don't know how long you've been listening. But if you're still sitting there unsaved and listening, I've got something to ask you. Why? What more does God have to do to get your attention? Why don't you just turn to Christ Jesus and be saved right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.